Audio 1.2. Creation of Statutory Law. How a Bill Becomes an Act. Before an item of legislation becomes law in the UK, it is known as a bill. A bill is introduced into Parliament as either a public bill, a private bill, or a private member's bill, and is preceded by a white paper or a green paper during a consultative process. White papers set out definite government proposals on topics of current concern and signify the government's intention to enact new legislation. Green papers, on the other hand, are introductory reports on a particular area and are tentative proposals for discussion issued by a government minister without any guarantee of legislative action. After the consultation process is completed, the drafting process follows. This is when the bill is set out in a draft legislation by parliamentary draftsmen, officially the Parliamentary Council to the Treasury. The bill then goes through a number of readings, which are the formal stages of enactment, the passing of legislation, by both Houses of Parliament, Commons and Lords. These stages are: First reading. The title of the bill is introduced into the House of Commons, and no debate or vote takes place at this stage. Second reading. This is the first general debate on the main principles and purpose of the bill in the House. Committee stage. The bill is debated in detail by a small group of MPs in a standing committee and may be amended. Report stage. MPs who were not part of the committee debating the bill may consider any of the amendments made by the committee. Any amendments may be accepted or reversed. Third reading. This is the final debate on the bill in the House in its amended form. Once the bill has passed the third reading in the House of Commons, it is referred to the House of Lords, known as passage through the Lords, where it is introduced with a new bill number. The process in the House of Lords is very similar to the process in the House of Commons. When both houses have formally agreed on the content of the bill, it is then presented to the reigning monarch for approval, known as royal assent. Once royal assent is given, the bill becomes an act of Parliament and is law. Statutory interpretation. The words of an Act of Parliament are authoritative, and the constitutional role of the judiciary is to apply legislation. If the wording of the legislation is ambiguous, then its meaning will need to be interpreted. In order to solve an issue of statutory interpretation, judges use three different approaches, known as the rules of interpretation. The literal rule provides that words must be given their ordinary and literal meaning, and must be interpreted according to the intention of Parliament which passed the Act. The golden rule provides that words must be given their ordinary and literal meaning as far as they do not produce absurdity or inconsistency with the rest of the document. The mischief rule involves an examination of the former law and determines the defect, mischief, that the statute in question has set out to remedy. The application of this rule gives the judge more discretion than the literal and the golden rule, because it allows him to deducing Parliament's intention. In addition, there are also rules of language which the judges may apply. They are: Eustem generis, general words only apply to things of the same type. Nociter associus, words derive meaning from others surrounding them. And expressio unius est exclusio alterius, when one or more things of a class are expressly mentioned, others of the same class are excluded. In addition to the rules of interpretation and rules of language, there are also a number of presumptions, such as the presumption against deprivation of liberty or against retrospective operation of statute. Finally, there are internal aids, such as the long title of the Act, and external aids to statutory interpretation, such as dictionaries and case law. Judicial precedent. Judges decide the law applicable to a case not only by interpreting statutes, but also by applying judicial precedent. This means that judges decide cases along the lines of earlier decisions made in similar cases, precedents, cases where the material facts are of sufficient similarity. In this context, precedent describes the specific part of a judgment which establishes a legal principle to be followed in later cases, known as the ratio decidendi, the reason for the decision. Typically, this ratio is referred to by the Latin phrase stare decisis, stand by what has already been decided, and is used to set forth a binding precedent in the present case. A precedent-setting case is sometimes called reasoning by analogy, because the facts of a case are analogous with those of an earlier decision. By contrast, the term obiter dicta, obiter for short, remarks in passing, describes any principle in the judgment which is not strictly relevant to the decision in the case, but may be cited as persuasive authority. This principle creates no binding precedent in the present case and is called persuasive precedent. Judicial opinions. In deciding the ratio by argument, each judge delivers an opinion on the case by agreeing, supporting opinion, or disagreeing, a dissenting opinion, with the decision of the majority of the judges, majority opinion, or agrees with the result reached in the majority opinion with the words, I agree, concurring opinion, which appear at the conclusion of the judgment. A per curiam opinion is written by all the judges in a relatively unimportant case, and usually with no one judge's name on it. Avoiding precedents. Despite the need to establish judicial precedent in common law cases, there are three main methods used by a judge to avoid a binding precedent that is difficult in the case being decided. They are: distinguishing. The judge finds that the material facts of the case for decision are sufficiently different from the previous precedent, and therefore departs from, rather than being bound by, the precedent. Reversing. A court higher in the hierarchy overturns the decision of a lower court during the course of the same case. Overruling. A court higher in the hierarchy reverses the decision of a lower court in a different case, and therefore creates a different decision on the same material facts in later cases.